Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very pleasant good afternoon to you. We hope you had a great weekend. Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070. WKOK and Sean Carey will hear from Steve in just a moment from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big thanks to everybody that have joined us on the Steve Jones Show podcast. If you miss any of the live shows, we drop them as podcasts on both Google Play, iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, so we encourage you to subscribe today. When you do that, the shows drop straight to your smartphone and tablet each day at about 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. You can also go to our website. We got a podcast page there with 3 months of shows archived at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And our toll-free, if you want to give us a ring, it's 1-800-795-9565. Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. When was the last time you checked your policy? Want to make sure you have the coverage that you need in case life happens. And when that does, our great friends at Purdy Insurance, they go to bat for you like it happened to them. So go to purdyinsurance.com or pay them a visit at their office on Market Street in Sunbury. Well, we finally made it to Super Bowl week. Let the hype begin, right? We've got Patriots and Eagles here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our coverage will start at 2 on Super Bowl Sunday. And also, you'll be able to hear the game on Eagle 107 at 107.3, kickoff at 6:30. So we'll definitely have a lot of football conversation between now and then. And we're also going to mix in some other topics as well. Of course, later in the week, we'll have more Bucknell Bison talk with head coach Nathan Davis. Congratulations to the Bison on a big win on the road yesterday at Boston University. So the Bison now with a complete stranglehold first place in the Patriot League with a record of 9-1. So now they'll enjoy a little home cooking for a couple of games. Wednesday night, they'll take on Army at Soica. And then Saturday night will be the annual Dirk Soica Slam Dunk, the fundraiser for Suncom Industries. That is Bucknell Lafayette. Both of those games start at 7 on Wednesday and Saturday. So if you haven't had a chance to get to Soica yet for a game, we encourage you to get your tickets. You can buy them online at bucknell.edu/boxoffice. And we'll have Nathan Davis on later in the week. And also, we're just a few days from February. And that means we'll be a few weeks away from, yes, pitchers and catchers reporting. A lot of baseball fans in the Valley were excited last week, of course, with the Williamsport Crosscutters Hot Stove Banquet. So
yes,
we'll be talking some baseball later this week. We will have on the National Major League Baseball correspondent from Bleacher Report, Scott Miller. He'll make his first appearance with us on the show on Thursday.
And might be his last, too. We always seem to get people who make their first appearance and say they're never coming back. No. I'm just kidding.
No, I didn't know I had that adverse effect on people.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of happens to me in my own house, but that's about it. I know where I rank on the food chain there. So, you know.
Why do you think the Sunbury Motor Studio's in the basement?
Banished before you even crack the mic.
Okay, it's all good. All good. Oh, my goodness.
And we figured we'd share a little laugh or two here, because we will be getting into some, with all the breaking news, especially that happened Friday night at Michigan State. We were able to get in contact with a good friend of the show, Chris Soleri, from the Detroit Free Press. He has done some very good work and reporting on everything that's been happening, and it's been a very fluid situation there in East Lansing the last week or so. So we'll check in with Chris at 3:35.
I am about to get an intense on the ground education on Wednesday. I mean seriously.
Kudos to the student section on Friday night coming up with the teal theme. That was whoever came up with that idea was very, very wise. That was a neat little scene there on Friday night with everyone, despite the very tense and a very tough situation that they're all going through.
Well, look, I'm a father with two daughters and a grandfather with one granddaughter, and I cherish them just like I cherish all children and grandchildren, all. And so you know how you would feel if it were your daughter, your granddaughter, your child. You know how you would feel. And so to the victims and survivors at Michigan State, they have our complete and absolute support. They also have our complete and absolute admiration for the courage and guts it took for them to come forward the way they did and stare down a monster. And if there's any way that any of us can be part of the healing process there, then absolutely. But they'll be in our thoughts and prayers always. All right. We will take a break. Jerry Kramer is going to be on the show later in the week. I love that. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I've maintained that for years. And because Sean told him that, Jerry said he'd come on the show. Terrific.
You've got the backing of a certain Hall of Famer that you spend multiple months with in the booth talking X's and O's, and if there's one man that definitely knows, it is Hammer for sure.
And frequently calls during the show.
Big fan. Big fan.
I always love... Are you on the air right now? I said, I'm in a news break. He's too funny. Although, Ron Moeller.
Mole Man
used my basketball tickets on Saturday. Okay. And... So Jack calls him up. I think Ron was talking to Jack on the phone, and Jack says to him, he says, so you're using Steve's tickets, huh? He says, so my parking, Steve's tickets. He says, you're really kind of a user. He says, you know, he says, Steve and I were talking about this, right? And of course, Steve and Jack weren't talking about this at all. The topic never came up. So they finally stopped, and he says to Mole Man, all right, I was just kidding. Steve and I didn't talk about that. We talked about football. Hey, we're also going to get Jeff Byers on the show later in the week. The Jason Nolf injury is not small. Obviously, it's huge news. They will wrestle Ohio State this weekend. They've got Iowa the weekend after. So that's going to be, obviously, big stories. In a sport that gets very limited exposure, wrestling, the fact that the Big Ten does provide the best of the best against each other does help promote the sport with any casual fans out there. And when you have Ohio State and Penn State, top two teams, wrestling each other in a great atmosphere, That's huge for the sport. When you have Penn State and Iowa, which bring the depth of cachet that they do to the table in wrestling the week after, that really helps because appealing to the casual fan brings a larger attendance. It brings a bigger television audience and so forth. And wrestling doesn't have a lot of that, but they will the next two weekends with Penn State, Ohio State, and Penn State, Iowa. And again, we don't know the exact nature of the injury for Jason Nolf. I know people said in watching it yesterday, it didn't look great. Jeff Byers is going to be on the show later in the week. We'll talk about that and more to set it up for you. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, we're coming to you from the lot at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. We had to stop because up on their sign, it says 0% financing for 75 months. We had to check it out ourselves. I mean, it can't be right, but it is. Your interest rate will stay at 0% for 75 months. That's over 6 years. This incredible deal is on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serranos. There's also no payments for 3 months. Now, that's the best value you're going to find anywhere. Plus, every Kia offers the industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And they have the highest-ranked large car, compact car, small SUV, midsize SUV, and compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality, according to J.D. Power. The sign is true. 0% financing for up to 75 months. Come on, honk if you love it too.
We want to see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
We'll see you here at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotorskia.com.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com. J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. See dealer for details.
Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the right insurance at the best price. Auto, home, life, business, you name it. They have it at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. It is Super Bowl week, and of course the Eagles and the Patriots will play on Sunday. Yesterday was the Pro Bowl. All right, we're done talking about that. What else do you need to say about it?
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it at all. We were locked into Penn State wrestling yesterday.
Kathy and I went to see Darkest Hour.
Nice.
Outstanding. Did not in any way, shape, or form like Dunkirk. Didn't like the movie. I thought it was poorly shot, poorly conceived, and jumped around too much. And I was really looking forward to it. I really was like, boy, I can't wait to see Dunkirk. And I went to see it, and I was about as disappointed in a movie as I've ever been disappointed in. But not Darkest Hour. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, Gary Oldman, front runner for sure for Best Actor in the Academy Awards for his portrayal of Winston Churchill.
There'll be no movies this weekend. I think we'll watch the Super Bowl. Yes. We got to watch the Super Bowl. All right, so we have today, let's see. We have Chris Solari at 3:35, Matt Leon at 4:06 on the Eagles. Later in the week, Nathan Davis on Thursday, Scott Miller on Baseball Thursday, and Jerry Kramer on Friday. Might as well get a guy who played for Lombardi on the show. Boy, did Joe admire Lombardi. Oh. What was the name of the biography? Because I've got it. I've read it. But it was a biography on Lombardi, and I was reading it at the time, and I was talking with Joe, and Joe asked me, hey, what books are you reading lately? And Joe at that time, ironically, was reading a book about Churchill. Joe always liked to read about leaders that went through crisis, how they handled it, things like that. And at that point, okay, he read about Truman and others along the way, but at that point he was reading about Winston Churchill.
So that be when Pride Still Mattered?
When Pride Still Mattered. And I said, I'm reading the Vince Lombardi biography, When Pride Still Mattered. And Joe looked at me, he goes, I'm in that book. Yeah, I said, I know. I said, I read the book. I said, he was pretty happy that he was mentioned in the book. So, meant something to him. He was also glad I was reading a book. Oh, good. at least somebody's actually reading something. Yeah. So, but that's a plus. And we'll talk to him about the Hall of Fame, about Lombardi, about how the game has changed. Let's face it, the guys you block today are bigger, stronger, and so forth, but everything's relative. Linemen were bigger and stronger back then, too. People don't realize Jerry Kramer also kicked during his career. Remember, Paul Hornung was kicked out for a year, suspended for a year. And because he was suspended for a year, they needed somebody to kick. So Jerry kicked. Actually did a decent job. You didn't know he kicked, did you?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. No. Hey, you are not dealing with somebody here who guesses.
No one trick pony. Mm-mm.
No, I got a lot of tricks. Oh, I received several emails from the suit this morning. I assume you did as well.
Oh, yes, regarding some Super Bowl prop bets or something like that.
Yeah, none of them, for example, dealt with like him selling anything.
No. Or was it best and worst fans, something like that?
Was it highest rating, lowest rating? Like what cities where it's rated the highest?
Best and worst cities for football fans. There we go. That's according to Wallet Hub. Best cities for football fans, we were just talking about Lombardi. Green Bay, number one, followed by Pittsburgh.
Naturally.
Followed by Pittsburgh, Dallas, Boston.
You ever been to Green Bay?
I've never been to Green Bay, and I've told this to many people. If I was not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, let's say, well, who'd you root for? I'd probably root for the Green Bay Packers, just because of the tradition and small-town feel. I'd probably go with the Packers.
Yeah. Well, I've been to a game at Green Bay. Stayed, went there went there on a Saturday night, had a great meal there, went to the game the next day, ended up flying back on Monday morning. Were thoroughly enjoyed. It was like being at an NFL game in a big college town. How about that?
That's an awesome compliment.
Yeah, I thought that's what it felt like to me. In a lot of ways, Pittsburgh's a pro town, but they've got a kind of a collegiate allegiance to the Steelers. It's weird they had that for the Steelers and they don't have that for Pitt. That's always been strange because there's like a collegiate feeling about the Steelers where there's just no doubt that they are Pittsburgh's team. And for some reason, Pitt's never been able to get that same. But that's the way it is in a lot of pro towns. The University of Miami versus the Dolphins, it's not going to happen. Georgia Tech versus the Falcons, not going to happen. Northwestern against the Bears, not going to happen. I think it's even worse when you have to share the stadium with them. You definitely feel like the number two tenant when that happens. All right, we're going to delve into the serious of the serious. Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press on Michigan State, next half hour. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. auto, home, life, business, whatever the insurance may be, they'll find you the right insurance for your needs at the best cost. That is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Tuesday night, tomorrow night, I will fly into Lansing, and I'll be there obviously all day Wednesday, and then broadcast the game courtside, Penn State, Michigan State on Wednesday night. So I'll be on the ground there, and I'll probably get a rather interesting education about everything. Chris Soleri has been going through this, not just in the last week, but much longer than that. Chris, always a pleasure to hear you, regardless of the topic we talk about.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Steve, and I'm sure you guys are kind of watching this and kind of having flashbacks yourselves to big stories that just never seem to end.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Never seems to end. All right, I want to start with this part. How tough has it been at times for the Detroit Free Press, even under the Freedom of Information Act, to get information from Michigan State?
So that's actually a great question and a great starting point. So prior to ESPN's lawsuit a few years ago, when they were getting police reports that were incomplete, we had those issues in Detroit. We had those issues when I was in Lansing, where you would get heavily redacted police reports and from Michigan State University police. Other law enforcement agencies don't do that. Michigan State University is hidden behind the Family Education and Rights Privacy Act during that time, and said that they had the right to black out names of victims and suspects in cases. And State Court of Appeals shot that down and said you need to release the names of the suspects involved in things in 2016 to ESPN. So really, for the first time, that kind of pried open the doors a little bit to what's happening on campus. We would be able to get to things that were off campus, whether they were in East Lansing or some of the surrounding communities. But generally, the stuff on campus prior to that was virtually inaccessible. I mean, even if you did have a case number or a complaint date, you would get a heavily redacted report that you really couldn't write anything on.
All right, so now you have to wade your way through that. Now, in terms of the ability to get some information, I'll be honest with you, I'll sit down in May and in June, and I'll start putting together basics on charts for games. So Michigan State's always going to be there. And so I'd always have to sit there and say, okay, why isn't X on the roster? Well, he could have transferred or dropped out or whatever, or you find out X was arrested for whatever. So it's not like I didn't know about stuff like that. I did. What finally has opened the floodgates for you to get more information beyond just a basic arrest report?
Well, it's the names. And I mean, an arrest report is one thing, but having the names is a completely other thing. And that ESPN lawsuit in 2016 that I mentioned is what opened that up. And, that's where we started to find some things in terms of football players and some basketball players. I focused solely on the football player incidents as part of the coverage. I've been investigating this for over a year now after the Michigan State had the two sexual assaults in 2017. And, it wasn't as if there were a lot. I mean, there were, other than the two in 2017, there were four more at that point, one of which I reported on this summer, the Keith Mumphrey situation, the wide receiver from the Texans who was cut after we discovered through the Freedom of Information Act that in his police file there was documentation that he was banned from campus, so a police action, and that the university had expelled him. So we got a Title IX process. So that opened the gates to that, and then there were three other incidents during Mark Antonio's 11 years. Now, that's not necessarily a big number when you sit and think about it. I mean, you're talking, and this is solely sexual assaults. The ESPN story went into violence against women, which, is a different situation, and they also roll in basketball as well. But from what my investigation got, there were six cases over D'Antonio's first 11 years involving 11 players. Involved in sexual assaults or alleged sexual assaults. Mm-hmm. which, again, the number, that's, you know, when you think about the number of guys, 120 guys on a roster every given year, you know, you add plus or minus 25 per year, that's a relatively no number. But the bigger issue is that prior to that ESPN lawsuit, we didn't know what was going on. We did not know these cases existed.
Okay, so Chris, there's a way to handle it, and there's a university procedure to handle it, and there's a legal way to handle it. Has your reporting and your year-long investigation, did they follow university policy, and did they follow the law, at least what you know to this point?
By all accounts in the police reports, they did. All of them ended up in the hands of the prosecutor. I found out about one today from the police that said that it was, while the prosecutor's office said it wasn't. It never got to them. But there were, those cases, at least what we saw, they were obviously reported to police, and then they were investigated and forwarded to the county prosecutor, who determined not to press charges. So when you see that, the police report kind of gives you some bare bones on what is going on with it. And when there aren't charges brought, most places I've worked is to err on the side of the accused, especially in sexual assault cases. You know, you don't, and we did this in 2017 with the football players that were eventually named in Donnie Corley, Josh King, and Demetric Vance for their sexual assault that they had on a woman in January of a year ago. But until the charges were filed, there could have been any permutation of things. You could say they're in being investigated for sexual assault and then get charged with something else. So you all of a sudden link those two things together if there are no charges. So kind of, that's what happened with one of the basketball cases that ESPN reported on. The other case is a whole different mess, because that supposedly was reported to the university athletic department and athletic director Mark Hollis and one of his underlings, and never filed a police report, never ended up in a campus judicial system. So there's, that one in particular is sticky. But with the other case, we had known about, there were no charges filed back in 2010, and that was the end of it. We got a prosecutor's statement of why he did not press charges on the individuals, and we went with it.
This is going to be a tricky question, but I'll ask it anyway. Should Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo be far more worried about perception or about truth?
That's a good question, because I think if you asked both of them, they would be more about the truth. And I think that's, knowing them and being around them and having covered them, I think that would be their answer. That said, I think that they also understand where the perception comes from, too, that there's damage that comes with perception, and that damage is already done with perception. I mean, a week ago, we were talking about Larry Nassar, and we were talking about the fallout from that. He hadn't even been sentenced at that point a week ago. And in that week, Michigan State lost its university president, who retired the day of the sentencing. Then Mark Hollis retires on Friday, about an hour or 2 hours before the gigantic ESPN story comes out. So how much of that is a result of perception of what was going on with Nassar? How much of that was anticipation of what was coming ahead with ESPN? I guess only those two can answer that. But the perception even right there is not good. And then you bring in Izzo, and he has what he called, he misspoke when he was discussing the Nassar situation a couple weeks ago, and one of the Olympic gymnast moms took to Twitter and berated him and his choice of words. Then you think about Mark D'Antonio, and a lot of these stories have focused on his program. I believe the ESPN report said that he personally handled one of those cases, and he came out Friday and said that was patently false, basically. And so, all of that ends up becoming perception anyways. you know, regardless of where the case is at the moment.
In your year-long investigation, because you've poured a lot of sweat and equity into this along the way, you've had a lot of doors shut. Now that some doors have been open, have you found some people more willing to privately discuss, or have you still found doors to be solidly closed?
Well, I'd say the doors are still solidly closed, because you got to remember that this university right now is leadership in absentia. I mean, there's no president, yeah. There's no athletic director to discuss these things, which now puts Tom Izzo and Mark Antonio, who typically are the face of the university anyway, in really an unenviable position to either answer or at least face these questions. I mean, they have to face these questions. Whether or not they can or will answer, you know, I think is probably out of their hands and more in the legal team's hands at this point. Because when it comes down to it, you can be the face of the university, but you're still a basketball coach. You're still a football coach. And, you know, I think if there's a lesson that maybe Michigan State has learned from afar from seeing the Penn State situation is trying to put that into perspective. You know, they and I think Tom Izzo tried to do that in speaking off from his heart, and you know, I think he really had some poor choices of words when he was discussing the Larry Nassar situation that agitated the victims and the survivors of his abuse. So I mean, there's certainly some crisis management going on in terms of the public image for Michigan State.
When Michaela Maroney came forward, that started an avalanche against Nassar. But when Allie Raisman stepped up, that put someone of fame and spotlight on Nassar. Are you surprised as a reporter, as hard as you've worked, are you surprised as a reporter that it steamrolled to suddenly football and basketball stemming from the Nassar thing? Because some would thought that would be the end, he'd go to prison, and obviously focusing on survivors would be critical. Are you surprised that it's spiraled the way it has in just a week?
Well, that could be a case of where the public perception versus the reality kind of you start to question it, because, you know, are they directly tied to it? No. I mean, no one is sitting and saying that Mark Antonio and Tom Izzo had knowledge of, knew, or even understood who Larry Nassar was, let alone what he was doing. I mean, he did not work with their programs. I don't believe that they ever, I think Izzo said he'd never met him. Mark Hollis said he had never met him. He's the athletic director. You know, I think what you're seeing, I've heard someone use the term collateral damage, but I kind of hesitate to use that, because these things were underway before a lot of that Nassar stuff ramped up. Both our investigation and ESPN's investigation were going on for a while. And, you know, a lot of that stemmed from the football situation last year. So, you know, when you had one incident and then you had a second incident, then all of a sudden the microscope and the magnifying glass came out. And, you know, I think this is the continuation more of that than the Nassar situation. Maybe ESPN's timing on it could be tied to the Nassar situation, because there were a lot of eyes and a lot of resources that they had in East Lansing for that. But even still, I mean, you know, the Nassar situation, you know, when Michaela Maroney came out, when Allie Raisman came out, you know, and some of the other high-profile, prominent Olympic gymnasts, at least from a local standpoint, I think one of the moments of the victim impact statements that was most profound was when Jordan Weber took the stand. Yeah. Because Jordan Weber is, outside of Magic Johnson, the biggest athlete in the Lansing community. And you're talking about someone who spent their entire life almost being treated by Larry Nassar. So, you know, there were a lot of watershed moments throughout those victim impact statements that really kind of boiled, and I think maybe at some way and some level bubbled over, at least to the reactions to what we're seeing about the football and basketball programs.
Is it a community walking around in a state of shock?
I think it's in somewhat of a daze. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, people were horrified and mortified with the Nassar situation, but I think it was the rapidity at which you saw the Nassar sentencing in an afternoon on a Wednesday, and then University President Luanda Simon resigns later that night, almost hastily. She was reportedly going to retire on Thursday, and instead put a letter on the university's website. And then Mark Hollis retires on Friday, hours before the ESPN story. So, I mean, it's, you know, I talked to a friend of mine over the weekend because we had to go cover the game in Maryland. A friend of mine works for the Washington Post, and he kind of told me, he said, you know, this is kind of a little mini glimpse into what it's like to cover the Trump administration right now, because it is one story after another after another. And it's, you know, there is no news cycle. The news cycle is whenever you're awake, because something is happening at some point or another.
All right, hard one now, and you probably don't have a good answer for it, but I'll ask it anyway. What does it take for Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo to survive at Michigan State?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that right now. I mean, you know, Izzo's built up 23 years of cachet, and we're talking about two incidents, one of which was not reported to police. You know, you look objectively at that, and you think, okay, well, that's really pretty amazing when you sit and think about it. And then you look at Mark D'Antonio, and in 11 years, he's had issues. He's had some incidents in as recently as last year. And I mean, that's what the entire 2016-17, you know, early part of 17 calendar year was like. You know, it was a bad year off the field, and then everything bubbled over off the field. You know, the winning kind of helped. You know, if this was 2016, if this was a year ago at this time and all this came to the head like it is right now, I think that it would be impossible for a university to stick with them. But the other thing to keep in mind, there's no bosses. There's no athletic director. There's no president to make that call. So I don't even know who would make that call at this point. I don't think the Board of Trustees, which also are under some pretty significant heat for their handling of these situations, most particularly the Nassar situation, there's fire on them. So I don't know who exactly, you know, just really, I mean, D'Antonio and Izzo are kind of on an island right now. They don't have a direct boss. No, there's no president. There's no athletic director.
Chris, I appreciate it very much. I assume I'll see you Wednesday night. So
yeah, absolutely.
Every time I talk to you, regardless, we were just talking football, basketball, you're always terrific. And thanks for some very thoughtful, insightful answers today.
Well, anytime, Steve. I appreciate the time.
Chris Soleri, brilliant reporter for the Detroit Free Press, who has investigated this on the football side for a year. He's the one that's uncovered so much of what you're seeing. I mean, ESPN may have put it into a report, but it's Chris's work that really has opened the door on this. And like I said, I think I'm going to get a real education on the ground there on Wednesday, in the guise of me broadcasting a basketball game. All right, we'll take a break. Matt Leon on the Eagles next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.